Welcome to the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast brought to you by Proudmouth. I'm your host, Matt Halloran. Being your own loud is not new to marketing, but the mindset, strategies, and resources to help you get there are evolving faster than this industry is keeping up. It is time to find a new perspective on what works, why, and how to move your business forward. Listen as I interview guests to help you learn from them how to be your own loud. Let's get to the show. Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. I am your host, Matt Halloran. Now, we have maybe three or four times in the 450 plus episodes that we've done here at Proudmouth and with the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast, we've had people who are going to be talking about writing a book. I met Paul a little while ago. Paul McManus is our guest today. I met Paul a while ago through a friend of a friend, and I really dove into what his system is. And I thought it was really interesting because a lot of you really truly want a book because you want to do what we refer to as influence marketing. Paul calls it authority marketing. We're going to talk about authority marketing today, but how important a book can be. In fact, Paul, before we dive in, I have a really good friend of mine who just published a book. It's How to Manage the Existential Crisis That Happens After People Sell Their Businesses. And so it's called Next. It's by Jerome Myers. Great book. He's like, Matt, I don't know why I didn't do this earlier. He's like, dude, people are like just like ravenously consuming. And now the cool thing about it, the book's been out for a little bit, and I know this is part of your system. People are like, he's sharing testimonials and all of this stuff all over social, which continues to increase his book sales. So anyway, so this is Paul McManus. He's the founder of More Clients, More Fun LLC, MCMF Publishing, and he is the creator and the host of the Million Dollar Producer Show podcast. So Paul, welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you for having me. I'm very glad to be here. I had you on my podcast, I think a few months ago. That was an excellent conversation. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation today.
And now I'm in my happy place, which I know you are in your happy place, where I get to ask the questions and you're the one who's going to do all the talking this time, dude. All right. So let's just lay the foundation right out of the gate. So we call it influence marketing. It's the same thing that you're talking about with authority marketing, but how do you define it?
Again, I think we're going to probably geek out on this because I think this is a subject that's near and dear to both of our hearts. I would say that roughly speaking, it's just a different term for the same thing. I was introduced to the concept of authority marketing by my marketing guru of choice, which is Dan Kennedy. So I've studied him quite a bit, and that's how I learned it. So I learned that terminology and that approach from him, but I think it's largely the same thing. But the idea behind it is that you really need to not be seen as a commodity, right? For a financial advisor, if you're out there in the marketplace doing whatever kind of marketing you're doing, by and large, and this is in any industry, but specifically for financial advisors, is you're seen as a commodity. It's annuities, it's AUM, it's life insurance, what's the better price, et cetera, et cetera. And you're constantly chasing the sale, and that sale gets really expensive. I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of financial advisors, mostly independents over the past, I want to say eight years now, time flies. And there's two critical issues that they always come to me with. Number one, how do I get more qualified leads? The second issue, which they don't always come to me at first, but we discover as we engage and work together, is I seem to be chasing. They come, we have a nice call, they seem great, and then they ghost me. And I call them, I follow up, what should I do? And I think the whole premise there is wrong. If you start out the relationship by chasing the lead and them seeing you as a commodity, them seeing you as a quote-unquote salesperson, and don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with being a salesperson. I'm a salesperson, you're a salesperson. But the packaging is really inside of being an educator, an expert, a teacher. When you're able to shift and re-present yourself as that go-to expert, now a really cool thing happens. Instead of you chasing the prospect, they start coming to you. You're able to start putting up hoops and barriers that they have to pass to get on your calendar, to get your time to do all these things. And it's just completely remarkable. And we'll dive into it as we talk today. But in my experience in marketing, the two things, and I think you'll appreciate this, that tend to be able to create this effect most consistently for financial advisors, in my experience again, is number one, being an author and having your own book. And number two, it's having a podcast. And when you marry those things together, it's a magical system.
So I'm going to do a real life example of this very quickly. And then I know you're going to share some stories too, but I have a financial advisor friend of mine. It's a Mittland Money Mindset is the name of the organization. And he wrote a book called A Financial Planning Made Easy. And he had already had a podcast. So Paul, it's absolutely fascinating because of the book and because of some extra efforts. I'm not just saying that he just pulled this out of nowhere, but as for some extra efforts with the podcast and the book, he's getting on morning shows and local news. And actually he's got on Yahoo Finance. And it's because of the premise that you just laid there, which I'm so glad that you laid that out so clearly. A book makes you the authority. Now, okay, so everybody's gonna be like, okay, Paul, that's freaking great. I don't know how to write a book. I'm not a writer. I know I need a book. I'm terrified about writing a book. Help my listeners overcome this, because it's this, dude, it's money, it's fear, it's time. Yeah, it's imposter. Yeah. So help our audience understand that this is possible.
Yeah, 100%. The first thing I'll say, and those are all very common, it tends to be the first conversation I have with people. Like, I heard you on this podcast. I'm interested, but I don't have time. What am I going to talk about? It's interesting. And I'll answer your question in a second, but I tend to see two types of people. Either one, they have more imposter syndrome and they're like, I don't know what to write about. What do I have to say that's unique and different that hasn't already been said? And of course, the answer there is that it hasn't been said by you. In that case, the analogy that I like is that we're not writing a book to compete and on the New York Times bestsellers list. That would be nice, but that's for 99.9% of us, that's not the goal, nor should it really be in most cases. But the way that I like to frame it, as a financial advisor, if you think about it, especially as you're dealing with more affluent people, they're going to be checking out multiple advisors, right? They're going to do their due diligence. And so really the correct frame there is that you're likely, if they're checking you out, you're likely competing against one or two other advisors. Now, when you're competing against one or two other advisors, do you want to be the advisor that has the book, maybe has the podcast or both, and so that they can do their due diligence in advance, see what an amazing person you are, see how competent you are, and then come to you and you don't have to sell whatsoever during that process or very limited? That's the correct frame. I want the book so when they're evaluating three other people, I'm the one that they naturally choose. The other extreme is the person who says, I have so much to share and I don't know that I could capture it in just one book. And I love that one too. And part of the beauty of our approach, and we call it the short book formula, is that every book that we help our clients craft, and of course you can get all this information in my book for free, but it's geared towards being roughly 12,000 words. And I'll give a more concrete example of what that means. That means that a person can read the book in roughly 60 minutes. And so you have to be focused and concise in your message. Now, a couple really cool things happen there. Number one, it gets that much easier to do, right? Going back to what stops people from writing, my conception of a book is War and Peace. I have to go on sabbatical for 3 years and whomever Hemingway write out all this stuff. And I'm just not going to do that. You don't have to do that, right? So we make it much more reasonable to do from the author standpoint. And equally, if not more important, we actually want your ideal prospects to read the book. Now, if you have an amazing 50,000 word book, guess what? It's going to probably go on their bookshelf. They're going to say, that's fantastic. You wrote a book. Congratulations. And they're not going to read it. So it's not going to do its magic. But when it's a 12,000 word book, takes them roughly 1 hour to consume it, they're going to read it much more likely. And sometimes they read it more than once because that's really good. I need to go back there and check out that information. So I know I went off on a tangent, but those are the two sides of the coin that we see.
I love that you did that because, again, you're overcoming in the mind of our listeners what is really truly stopping them from doing this. When they're thinking about writing a book, you're right. So when I was working with my editor on my newest book, he had actually said that to me, Matt, and he actually used War and Peace, which is funny. He said, Matt, that's not what you're writing, right? And I'm like, oh, okay. So now that frames it a little bit easier for me. But more importantly, these sort of micro books or these shorter books are so much more palatable for people because they can consume them. And the other thing, Paul, that you have to, that you said that I need to go back to is, so if I am your ideal client, right, and I have three advisors that I'm looking at. So this lady over here, so she's got a really great website and it really talks to me. I feel like she's talking to me. And then I've got this guy here who's got the same standard website as everybody, two old white people holding hands, walking on a beach. And it looks like everybody else's website. And then I've got this lady over here who has a podcast that seems to be talking to me and she's a published author and her website looks good. These other two people just went down in the credibility perspective because, and that's part of the authority thing you talked about at the top of the hour or the top of the show, which really is you are looked at as an authority. Okay. So how do you help then the advisor focus on that topic, but most importantly, see this through to publishing?
Yeah. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how we approach it with our clients. We like to start the premises that you can write and publish a book from start to finish in as little as 6 weeks. And this isn't something, there's two extremes. This doesn't take a year to do or longer. And it also isn't something that you get done in a day. This is an author journey. And the way that we approach it is that the actual act of writing a book has so many ancillary benefits, right? Just like when you podcast, the ancillary benefits are not just the podcast, but you become a better speaker, you become a better listener, you become a better, probably a better advisor for a variety of skills that you develop in the process. The same thing's true about a book because even though it's 12,000 words, so it's reasonable, it still forces you to think through what is your philosophy? What are your beliefs? Why do you believe what you believe? What are the stories that you use? And for some people, and what I love about our process is that we don't expect them to be a writer because that's probably the number one thing. Hey, I'm not a writer. That's perfectly fine. That's our premise. You don't need to be a writer. So our process takes them really through an interview process where we get with them on Zoom for usually about an hour per week over about 6 weeks. And we have a very structured process that we first start with who's your ideal client? What are you trying to accomplish? What's the focus of this book? Why does it matter? Questions like that. And then throughout that process, we essentially interview the person each time in a very structured way, and we have them prepare for it. So we're capturing their best stories. We're capturing their best ideas. If they want to go do a little research, they can. But to the point, this stuff is mostly in your head. If you've been doing this for 10, 20 years, you just need to think about it, maybe write down some notes, but it's in there. And it's just a matter of reflection and pulling it out of you. And the obvious deliverable there is the book. But it's funny because the thing that I hear almost everybody says that goes through the process is that this has been a fantastic process. I feel clear on my business, my marketing, my vision. I have a passion for what I'm doing. This is great.
I just literally brought up almost those exact words on our team meeting yesterday. So every other Tuesday, we have a team meeting here at Proudmouth where all of our 30 plus people come on to a Zoom meeting. And at the end of the meeting, I always do something that's motivational and to help people focus. And one of the things that I said was, you all need to understand when you help people market like this, and in your situation, obviously it's a book. In our situation, it's helping them create their podcast and their content. You're making them a better advisor. You're actually improving their life and their business. And I love that you brought that up because that's one of those, we know as owners, intended consequences, but is an unintended result that happens when you go through this process. Because when you're interviewing them over that 6 week period, they're going to say something. And I know you've experienced this over and over again. They say something where they're like, wow, like I've never said it that way before. And I'm going to use that in my meetings. And yeah. Okay. So keep going. Okay. So now you've interviewed me for those 6 weeks. Then what happens?
Again, going back to the premise is that we do not expect our clients to be writers. And it's just, and then there's levels of writing, right? So maybe it's like, hey, I write a blog post. Well, fantastic. Are you equipped to write a compelling 12,000 word book? And having quality and demonstrating quality in anything that we do, whether it's a book, a podcast, a website, is critically important because it's that impression that it makes on people. So once we go through the process of interviewing and capturing all that amazing information, and oftentimes we capture more than we really need for the book, so we have to sift through it and really pull out the gems. At that point, our team goes to work at writing the book. And so, but it's 100%, I like to make a distinction between ghostwriting and that this isn't asking someone to write your story and they don't know what your story is, right? This is in-depth recordings of you in your own words talking about your story in a way that's very real and authentic to you, taking that and us turning that into a first draft. And I think the key thing is that anything that's done well isn't done well like this. Wish it could be, but at the end of the day, it's a collaborative process where we write the first draft, we give it back to you, our client, you take a look at it, you say, okay, what's missing? Did we capture everything correctly? What do you want to change? And so it's really an iterative process where we go back and forth over maybe one or two drafts until it's just perfect for you. And so again, you can do it in as little as 6 weeks through our process. I'd say conservatively, it takes 6 to 12 weeks. But then the next step, of course, is we work on the book cover. I'm actually doing a book cover right now for a mutual friend of ours, John Cutton. And we actually use a service called 99 Designs. That what's really cool about it is that we get like a bunch of different covers. And so you almost get too many really cool options. So I'm like sending those to him and they're like, oh, that's awesome. Well, can you tweak this? Can you tweak that? I think it's when you have the cover that it really starts to come to life in terms of, I have a book. That's pretty cool.
That's so, I've published two now. I'm working on my third. But when that cover is done, that's when you're like, oh, the light comes in and you're like, this is real. Yes, I have all of these words on a page. Okay.
If I can, yeah. I'll just jump in there. So the first time before I wrote my first book, this is maybe 4 or 5 years ago now, I started backwards. I got the cover first and I was so in love with the cover. I put it on social media and people are like, wow, congratulations. And I'm like, yeah. And that kind of satiated me for about 6 months until I actually then started to write the book. And so the cover is powerful. It's the concrete. It's and the cool thing is that not only for yourself, but you start sharing it. People get excited, energy, status, all these cool things start happening naturally.
All right. So we're going to fast forward just a smidge here because I don't want people to just think that all you have experiences is this book writing system. You're a comprehensive marketer. You have a lot of experience in the world of marketing. So they've hired you. The book is out. What happens next? Because I know a lot of advisors have boxes of books that are just sitting there and they magically think that people are going to get them. So Paul, how do you walk them through the actual distribution and getting the most out of the book that you just helped them?
100%. Thank you for the question. And that's definitely a question that comes up every single time, which is a fantastic question. We start with the book as the premise of what we do. As you said, we are a full marketing agency. And there's a couple things specifically that we do for our clients. I'll give you an example of one of the clients we're working with now. His name is Pavan. Excuse me. We're about to publish his book, but we're intentionally doing what's called a book launch on Amazon. So we published to Amazon. And if you can get so many people to buy a book within a certain time frame upon launch, what's cool is that typically you'll get recognized as a number one new release, which then is very good for your marketing. So we're intentionally, even though the book's ready to be published, we're slowing it down and we're giving it about a month and we're creating for him social media, email campaigns, things of that nature, so that we're going to work with him so he can go out and ask his existing clients, his email, his social media followers, his everyone in his network, everyone in his life, basically for help. It's like, hey, I'm writing, publishing my book. Can you support? Would you be willing to buy a copy, give me a review, things of that nature? And the cool thing about that is that not only, again, is the concrete result that we're going to help make him a best-selling author in that process, but you get business out of it. This is the number one way to immediately recoup your investment, if not beyond, is that it's such a cool way to engage your client base and the people that you've been talking to. It's like, hey, I'm about to publish my book. Would you be willing to read it? Would you be willing to give me a review on it? There's a saying that I really like, which is people support a world that they help build, right? And so when you ask for help as part of that final stage of the process, whether it's through testimonials, purchases, launch, et cetera, people get excited for you. They're proud of you. They want to support you. And invariably, one of two things happens. Either they say, hey, I need to talk to you about that life insurance or whatever it is, or I need to introduce you to Susie, who I've been talking to recently, and she really needs an advisor like you. Would it be okay if I introduce you? Sure, why not? So that there is the number one way to get an immediate boost, recoup your investment, if not make money right out of the gate. Now, longer term, what do you want to look at doing? So I like to think that a book has a shelf life of 3 to 5 years, meaning that it can last longer, don't get me wrong, but the return on investment from a book isn't just in the first month, the first 6 months, or even the first year. The book that we're talking about now, I literally wrote a year ago, but guess what? I'm still talking about it because it's what I do. It's the key thing that I do, and it doesn't get old. And so at that point, the way that we advise clients to go about it is one, LinkedIn, especially for advisors. LinkedIn's a fantastic channel to do it. We have a whole process around that. But basically, instead of going on LinkedIn and saying, hey, let's get on a call because I want to sell you something and I'm sure you're bored and whatnot, it's like, no, hey, I just wrote a book. Can I send you a complimentary copy? Ah, if this is relevant to you. So it becomes the foundation for everything that we do on LinkedIn for our clients. And this can extend not just for a few months, but I have clients such as Mark Miller. I'm holding up his book here. We've been working with him for, I want to say, 3+ years now. So he wrote his book. We've been marketing it on LinkedIn for him. He targets affluent business owners. And these are people that all paying at least $20,000 or more in taxes. The title of his book is The Tax-Free Business Owner. So you can imagine that title gets a little bit of interest from the right people. I know I'd lean in there if that was presented to me. But 3 years later, we're still doing it. So at some point, what happens? Now we're working with Mark to write his next book about investments. And so you let the shelf life run as long as it can. And then you start thinking about that next book, because once you've gone through the process, and I think I heard you say that you've written 2 books now, you're working on it. Once you've gone through that, you see the value of it. And it's like, why wasn't I doing this before?
One of the other wonderful things about all of this is that is such a different approach, especially on social. Give, we talked about this when I was on your show. It's that principle of reciprocity. I'm going to continue to give. But you said something earlier that we have had a couple of clients do here at Proudmouth, which is because you said if they'll feel a lot more interested in your world if they help, I'm paraphrasing, if they help you build it, right? And so we've had a couple of our clients who've crowdsourced their cover art, the name of their show, the intro, the outro. And so all of a sudden their network is, oh my gosh, I helped him write that. All right. And so now all of a sudden they do have so much more of a vested interest in your success. And so by asking clients to share, comment, review, buy, blah, 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 right? That really does make a lot of sense. And in one of my favorite quotes, in Bill Cates, I don't know if Bill, he's the referral coach. One of my favorite things that he said about podcasting, which is wildly applicable to a book too, it's easier to refer somebody to a podcast than it is to call my guy. It's easier to hand somebody a copy of the book you just wrote and say, hey, share this with whoever you want. After you read it, I have a couple more copies if you'd like. That is such a different ask because, again, it's a give, it's not a take.
Yeah. And thank you for mentioning podcasting again. This is where I really think they work hand in glove. And my take might be a little bit different. Once you write the book, the next thing, in addition to LinkedIn as an example, that I highly recommend authors do is to start their own podcast if they haven't already done so. Because a podcast, we can better than I do, but a podcast is that next authority tool that you want to have. They go very nicely together. For long-term marketing, we talked about LinkedIn as one. The next thing that I 100% endorse and recommend to my authors is podcasting. And there's two forms of podcasting. There's having your own podcast. And there's a lot of reasons that we can get into, as I'm sure if you explored and talk about it in depth, but hosting your own podcast. And then the flip side is guest podcasting on other people's podcasts. And really, and I think I heard this from you when you were on my podcast, is that sometimes it's difficult to be a guest on other. Sometimes it's difficult to be invited to be a guest on other people's podcasts, but a book is that passport. It's that skeleton key, if you will, that gets a lot of podcast hosts at least initially interested in potentially bringing you on as a guest because you've demonstrated that you have a message, you have something to teach, something of value to offer to the audience. And so long-term speaking in in-person events, if you're going to an event, bring physical copies of your book. The way that we print them, you can get copies of it for as little as $2 per book. Now, contrast that to getting some fancy marketing brochure that's going to go in the wastebasket the next day. You can literally give out a copy of your book for $2.50 or something like that. So speaking, webinars, we do a free version of the book, a free Audible version. So you're in a webinar. It's, hey, the next step, go get a free copy of my book. Podcasting, same thing. Go get a free copy of my book. And so I think long-term speaking, podcasting, along with a book, it just elevates what you're doing. It gives you something to talk about consistently. And it really helps, and this is a point we haven't talked about, but it really helps for you to attract your ideal clients. And so what I love about a book is that it's really, done well, you have a very specific audience in mind. You're writing for them. The conversations that are going inside their head, the problems that they face, the desires that they have, the language that they use. And so when you use that as the lead to bring people in, as the filter, guess what's going to happen? You're going to attract the exact right people that you want. And everyone else, for the most part, is going to filter themselves out. Sales becomes, I love sales because it's not really sales. It's just conversation.
And that's so the way that we couch everything that you just said there is moving people from skeptics to fans, right? So people who are consuming your book, now all of a sudden they're going to want to go to the webinars and they're going to want to go ahead and follow you on social and they're going to want to listen to your podcast. Now all of a sudden I've got, from a sales perspective, all of these hooks into you where it's going to make it so much faster for you to like, know, and trust me. And if you do those three things, right now, the probability of you buying from me, which really has been our mantra here at Proudmouth for years now, is stop trying to sell to people, build a system so they buy from you. And Paul, I know that's part of your system. All right. So if people want to know more about how they can go ahead and write their book from soup to nuts in 6 weeks-ish or less, where do they need to go?
Yep. Very easy. Go to my website. It's www.theshortbookformula.com. That's the same name as my book. And when you go there, you can get a free audio version of the book. You'll learn more about what we do, but I highly recommend, if you're interested in this, start by going there, listen to the audio book. You can listen to it in just over an hour. And at that point, if you're not super excited about writing a book,
see you later. That's what needs to happen. Or actually what I would do is I would use my old sales hat, which is, you're not ready to write a book now, but that doesn't mean never. And yeah, plant those seeds, get a copy. Please make sure that you follow Paul on socials. We'll have all of those links, including the one that you just shared in your show notes. And last but not least, listen. So Paul's philosophy is start with a book, the podcast can follow. By the way, you can do it the other way around, which means that when you have a podcast, that can actually create the content that you need in order to write your book. And so either way, here's the deal. Write a book, right? It's so important for you to be able to get your expertise out there. And being able to say that you're a published and potentially best-selling author makes a huge difference. All right, everybody, if you want to know more about who we are and what we do, please make sure you follow us. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and join the Pod Rocket Academy for free. So for Paul and all of us here at Proudmouth, this is Matt Hallern, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Thanks for listening to the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast, brought to you by Proudmouth. If you want to know more about how you can be your own loud, visit us at proudmouth.com and sign up for the Pod Rocket Academy. Through courses and office hours led by professional podcast producers and digital marketers, you will learn everything you need to know to become the trusted subject matter expert you are meant to be.